There's just something about when Peter stood up, there was the other guys were with him. So I got my help. I'm not Peter, but I got my help. I'm sure they didn't have a Bryce and a Wes and a Raymond in the apostles either. They're not listed, are they? Yeah, good for them, Western says. Looky, this is going to be a little different. I hope that already is showing. We got lots of questions, or at least I have probably more than they do, because I didn't tell them too many days before. Bryce got it this morning, so I'll give him the first chance if he has a question or a statement to the church. You be thinking about it. You don't have to do it now. Listen here. Okay, but you're going to be first. All right. My question is this, okay? I want everybody, you have to answer this. I'm not going to tell you the answer because this is up to you. It depends on how you feel in here, whether it's going to do you any good or not, okay? Is the Bible God's Word? That's a question for each person. Is the Bible God's Word? Well, I just happen to have a little reference in here. It says 2 Timothy 3:16 says, is it 3:16? Yeah, it must be. 3:16. Let me find it. Oh, I thought I had it here. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Oh, here's where this thing was about doing God's work. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is so we can be trained and equipped to do God's good work. Now, I know he's not teaching us how to cook barbecue. It's not in the book anywhere. See? So barbecue is on the side. Car washing is on the side. Cake selling is on the side. That's things we dream up because we don't want to do it his way. That's the kicker, isn't it? When we add to the word to try to get something done, we want to do it our way, not God's way. I'm going to ask you a question now. You listen to this. I got lots of questions. That's what I did for the last 5 days. I've been thinking questions. Okay? Everybody's got, you got your own answer. I don't want to see any hands because I don't want to embarrass you. I want to embarrass you on the inside, but I don't want to know about it. I don't need to know. How many of you read the Bible today? How many of you read it every day? How many of you just read it weekly? How many of you just read it once in a while? When you need something. It's like going to the store. You need something extra, I'll read your book. That's what I have to do to get what I want. Huh? That's a good question. Good question. See, because he gave us this book for directions to life, how to live. Now, if you don't read the directions, I'm going to tell you what, it's like a complicated toy. You're going to put that sucker together and it's not going to work. Now, am I right? Now, I'm not talking about one of these three-piece jobs. Life's a little more complicated than just a little 1, 2, 3 and you can go. You got a whole book of directions. You think of a question? Here's Bricey. Look out.
Oh, really? I just got a statement or comment or something that God gave me, if you will. Yesterday, I was talking to a brother, and he said that they had a revival last week, and he was saying that one of the things he got out of it was that the Lord impressed upon him to ask him, today, what can I do to advance your kingdom? And he said the answer that he got was the Lord told him, teach your children. Now, that's a good answer for him, and it's a good answer for us too, but I believe that the Lord told me that I was doing a lot of that, not in the same way, but every day when you're not here at church, the Lord gives you something to do, whether it's in your work or whatever you do. But in that thing, how much of God is being advanced in the kingdom through you? We got neighbors, and we've been there 19 years, I think it is. And just recently, I think in the last three, four years, they've gotten real sick. The man, his name is George McKee, and his wife is Carolyn. He has Parkinson's Plus, and she has something in her back that's giving her real trouble about moving around. So they're basically... They don't have anybody. Their son lives in Durham, between Durham and Raleigh. Only son, and he don't come real often. So they have a person to come in the morning from 9:30 to 12:30, I think it is, that gets him up and takes him to the bathroom, that kind of thing, because he's bound to a wheelchair. And one of the things... that I do sometime, they call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when no other help's there, and he's stuck in the bathroom or can't get to the bathroom because his limbs are just locked. And I'll go over there and do it sometimes 2 or 3 times a week. And most of the time it's always after 2 o'clock in the morning. And last week I told Sharon, I said, I think they're kind of wearing me out. and I go to the grocery store. I do a lot of things for them, but the Lord told me, don't get tired in well-doing. And one of the things that I have really, in the last year, I say, opened and listening to God, I've done a lot of things for a lot of people with cars, because that's what I do. And believe it or not, you find more people with problems in this business. I think they said it's in the top five of the most stressful jobs, auto mechanic. It's in the top five, because every time that we see somebody or I see somebody, it's not because they want to see me. It's because they got a problem. They mad. They car too well. And I assure them that it's a machine, and even though it's brand new, it's going to have a problem sometime. So a lot of times you get people in and they don't have any money or any clue at all what it costs to fix a car or how they're going to get it fixed so they can go to work the next day. So the Lord has impressed upon me a lot of times that I should do a lot of this stuff free, or at least give advice free, which takes a lot of money out of your pocket if you're a mechanic. So, but I told Sharon we hadn't missed a bill because he's faithful and that kind of thing to what he called you to do. Now, I believe that I'll function in what he called me to do. And I'm talking about it's a daily thing now. Because, you know, what we do in here, and the Lord impressed upon me, really, what we do in here, why we come in here, I believe is to give God praise and worship and to lift each other up, because what's coming tomorrow and on down during the week, that if we don't have each other or a feeling station and God, because, you know, of our relationship with each other and him, that's why a lot of times you can't make it on during the week. Or you're so tired or you're so frustrated or whatever it is that you can't make it any further. But see, the thing that this is the point I'm going to try to make is that Pastor Jim said a long time ago to me, if God's calling you to do something and you can do it in your own strength, if you already say, I can do that, I can handle that, be real careful, because you're eliminating the Holy Spirit, or you're eliminating God, the outlet in your life to do what he want to do. If you can handle it, if you can do it, then most of the time he's going to let you do it in your own strength, and it's going to wear you out. So if you allow God, the Holy Spirit in your life to work through you, you're going to have a satisfied life. You're going to be able to live a satisfying life, because I love what I do. Sharon can tell you. Because sometimes it's late at night and I'm still doing it. She wonders where I am. But it's amazing to me, because I understand exactly. Sometimes I might not know how to fix it right then, but it's amazing to me to be able to figure it out, because they've mixed in electronics, electricity, and emission controls and all of that kind of stuff in a simple engine that makes it very complicated in the way it's worked. Because you got automobiles now, and Cadillacs and Buicks, with 23 onboard computers in the trunk. And you better know how to isolate them if you want to be able to work on that car. Because if you don't, you'll be going in your pocket for a $1,500 computer because of something you did. So it's not an easy thing to do. And you have to be able to rely and lean on him, because I hadn't been to school now in about 3 years, but I understand the principle. And there's nothing they can do, I don't think, that can surprise me now, because that's just the way it is. God's given me that, blessed me with that talent, that I understand how it works and how it's supposed to work. But that's the key, that if God's telling you to do something, and you, or if you don't know what he's telling you to do, if he's telling you to do something and you saying, well, yeah, I can do that, be careful that you don't do it in your own strength. And I believe that that's a word for us, or for me especially, that it don't put a burden on you that you can't handle, or that you are really going crazy in Monday after we leave out of here today. Because it's real easy to me for us to smile and be a certain way for 2 hours or an hour on Sunday. And then Monday, you see somebody crying or cussing or throwing a wrench or whatever else we do when we think ain't nobody looking. It's real easy, because I'm telling you, I'm in a position to where I see that. I see that, and I see people that's saying, why did that happen to me? You know, I tell them, hey, that thing is a machine, and it's going to break, so save you money. You know, it's not something you can buy one time and be finished with it. Or if you have it, treat it like, you know, it's something to have, because it's the second biggest expense that you ever have is a car. And if you don't properly take care of it as best you can, you're going to have a real problem with a car payment or whatever else in 3 years. that you're paying for something that you can't even drive. You know, that or the, it's in the shop somewhere and you're still making payments on it. So be real careful with that thing that God's blessed you with.
And that's just a machine now, see. We're a little bit more complicated than even those 23 computers. I'm telling you. The human body, they still trying to figure it out. They can't make us live too long. Or they don't want to. I don't know which way it is. They may have an arrangement with the undertakers for all I know. You know, doctors and the undertakers get together and have a convention. They say, well, you stab them, we'll slab them. I don't know. You know. Moving along. I'm using Raymond's line, he says. Okay. I'm going to put on my fighting material here. I just about forgot this, see. So, y'all guys hold on a minute. This gets a riff right here. This gets a riff. I'm telling you what. I wore it when I was trying to straighten out the Christian world and throw rocks at my Jewish brothers and brawl the, what do you call them, infidels that's running around. I didn't care. See, I just wanted to let them know who they're dealing with. See, so I wore this around. I call it my war hat. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's going to stir up some stuff. It stirred up enough to crucify Jesus. I mean, people, it's been taught even that Jesus never said he was God. Well, that's not so, is it? It's in the Word over and over and over. In fact, he just was calling some apostles there right off the bat, and he says, hey, I knew you. For you were, when you was under the fig tree or some kind of tree. Why'd I hate for him to tell me when he knew me before? Ugh. Let me read you something, and you guys just don't take offense now, okay? I got my war hat under here. Don't take offense. Jeremiah 17:9-10. You hear it? And I call it a one-liner because the Word is full of one-liners. And if you don't believe it, you can flip over to Matthew 5, 6, and 7. They call them Beatitudes. They're just a whole bunch of one-liners. And you can since I've been looking at one-liners, they're everywhere. Jesus didn't go into a whole lot of explanation about stuff. He just told you the way it was. And it's called a one-liner. So here we go. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. He does that. That's NIV. I don't know how it is in the KJV, the real Jesus version. Now, if the heart is deceitful and it has no cure, there's no hope for us. I'm telling you that right now. I don't care what anybody says. If you cannot cure something, you're going to die. Okay? You're going to die. Question number one in this line. What does born again mean? I'm asking you to think. I'm not asking for an answer. What does it mean? What's this mean? Born again. Nicodemus was the top teacher in his class. Top man in his class. And he didn't understand what it meant. See? He didn't understand what born again meant. He come out with this off the wall stuff about how can I enter my mama's womb again and come out again? Of Question number two. What does being filled with the Spirit mean? What does that mean? Don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Now, I'm going to tell you what. I am not, as my intellectual brother here will tell you in a flash, I am not gifted with one of those IQs that is not on the chart unless you want to go below it. Okay? Now, I don't mind volunteer to get down there with the weak-minded, because the Lord says, hey, he chose the ignorance of the world to confuse the intellect. So, you know, hey, I don't mind. I mean, here I am. I just don't believe I would have ever worked out Einstein's theory, no matter how many years I spent in school. I just don't believe it. Because I was always picking on everything that could be picked on, and especially the girls. Okay? Wasn't interested in learning. Didn't care. But I have always had this little thing in the back of my mind that says, hey, there's something real about this person over here that's different than this person over here. Now, both of them says, I'm a Christian. Now, one of them will say, God saved me, and I am so grateful. I don't know what he was interested in me for, because I was a pot, a dirty pot filled with dirty junk. And he loved me, and I don't know why he saved me, but I am grateful. And the other one will say, over here on this side of the podium, he will say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that bunch over there. God saved me, but I can give the kingdom something back. He did good by getting me. I'm a bargain. Now, that's in the Word, isn't it? It's called, you know, you come down to the temple to give you little penance and your pennies, and there they are. One. What does be holy as I am holy mean? What does that mean? What's it mean? How can we be holy like God is holy? I want you to think. Maybe you have the answer, you see. I just want you to think about it. I don't want you to give me an answer. Okay? Listen here. What does be perfect as your Father is perfect mean? Is that an empty challenge? Is it just words on a paper that really cannot be? Is it words that tells you to be something that it's impossible? Is that what it means? So, I don't think so. Because over in Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, Ezekiel is talking there, see, and he's the man of God, and he says that this is what God is going to do one day. And I suddenly found out what happened when you are born again. Now, I knew something really big had taken place. I didn't know what nor how. See, I can't pass this up. When I first got saved, 4 days later, I went to this place and we were going to party. And you understand, I hadn't even read the Word yet. I hadn't opened it. I just barely could remember that I said I did something on Wednesday morning. And this was Sunday afternoon. And I went to this place, and I was sipping this thing, and I started going, inside. See, right here. By the way, I want you to notice this. Don wants us to wear name tags, and I'm hanging on to Jesus. See? Now, I'm Charlie Bland. I'm going to take it off. So I thought when I was at this little get-together on Sunday afternoon, I says, it suddenly occurred to me, God has saved me just in time. I'm going to die. Because I thought I was going to die. I really did. My heart was going, I don't know what. Have anybody ever seen any of these science fiction things where little animals grow in you? You see any of those? I thought I had something in me. I thought, I am eat up inside with cancer or something is going to kill me today. Because it was going, and the only thing I could think of was, well, I got to get out of here. I am leaving this place. And this is a person's house, and I'd been invited to for dinner. And gratuities. Dinner and all the stuff that in my previous life that I used to indulge in. And I left. And I says, going down the road, I says, Lord, Lord, I'm so glad you saved me before I'm going to die. I really appreciate that. You just don't know. And it quit. I says, well, maybe tomorrow. You know, I don't know. I just thought I was going to die. I really did. Well, this is what Ezekiel's got to say. Listen to this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. And I says, light, it's like the Ford idea. Click. Born again. That's what happened. He took my old heart out. So I'm going to tell you, the old heart cannot be cured. Doesn't it say so in the Word? Jeremiah said so. The old heart cannot be cured. Listen, that's why God didn't mess with trying to cure the old heart. He took it out. We got heart transplants today. 1,000 years ago, you couldn't transplant anything. You couldn't even transplant a tooth. They just took them out when it hurt so bad. And God's been taking hearts out and putting new ones in all the time, see? And he put a new spirit in me, see? The old spirit, you understand? Maybe some of you guys don't know me. I grew up in a bootlegger's home. You understand that our language wasn't church taught? I cuss you out in a New York minute. And I really thought most people were lower down than anything excreted from a whale. You know what I'm saying? But that was my old spirit. My old spirit didn't care if you burned or not. I didn't care. My old spirit says, what's in it for me? Now, if I can sell tickets while you burn, voila. You go over there and set yourself on fire. Give me about 2 hours so I can make some money on this deal. Now, the new spirit, oh, no. No way. You ready? You ready with your question, bud? I know you got one. But you understand that's where we get this thing? You can't fix the old heart. I don't care how hard you try. Because the Word says it is uncurable. Cannot be cured. If you got the old heart and you trying to fix it, forget. Huh? Now, Western's been thinking up a good question since we've been sitting here. See? Huh? Here you go, Western.
He asked me about a week ago, and there's so many that I'd like to know the answer to, but one that's really been on my heart for probably a couple years, and slowly finding different answers to it, and it is, what is worship? I kind of thought this morning, it may be apropos for this morning, is it following a form? Is it following tradition? Is it going to church at 10 o'clock? Is it taking up an offering? It can be all of these things. There can be part of that. But what I've really, right now, where I'm at right now, the Lord has been revealing to me, is it boils down to one word, and it's obedience. There's several passages in the Old Testament, and I won't go through them, but it's talking about giving God lip service. It's talking about how God, there's several times where the Israelites, he rejects their songs, he rejects their dance, he rejects whatever they have because he's saying he's giving them lip service. In other words, and I think being relevant today, that means that if we come to church, and then that's our time to associate with the Lord, or that's our time to, okay, I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be. And the rest of the week, that mindset or that thought's left on the back burner. Can it be true worship? I think at that point it becomes a tradition, or a lot of the things that we see today. Yeah, I'm reminded when I go by a church or something, it says contemporary worship at 11 o'clock at our church. And I'm like, what is that? What does that mean? And it's sad to say, a lot of times, and I'll be the first one to say, I would probably fall into that category a few years back, to where, well, worship is going to church and singing at 10 or 11 or whatever your form is, and hearing the preaching and going home. That's our worship service. And I think that's Americanized. I mean, that's just what we've made it. And it's, the Lord's really been dealing with me, and that it's really what you live. It's how you live. I remember Jim saying, it's what you watch when nobody's around, or it's what you say. Who are you really? What are you really? And that's what the Lord's looking at. I want you to worship me in spirit and truth. That's the only way you can worship him. And it's like, who is the real you? And it boils down to exactly what Charlie is saying here. Is it the old man, or is there a new man? Do you live different? Does he make a difference? And I think that's what the Lord's after. I mean, that kind of worship. I'm not belittling singing or praising or dancing. I mean, I think all those things will... those would just be attributes of true worship. That's what's going to happen out of that lifestyle. Today, when we cut it short, it's like, it's not a big thing. That God's not going to be disappointed. Well, we played two songs and we screwed up on three, so our worship for the week shot. That ain't got nothing to do with it. But it is a heart set. Of finding, hey, where is the Lord today? What does he want me to do today? That kind of thing. And that being a daily thing, I think we do get a new heart, because he won't do anything with the old one. He said, you know, like what Charlie said, I saw that last week when Don was preaching. One of his verses he used was Jeremiah 17. And I've read that verse many times, but I had never seen beyond cure. I'd never seen that. But it also witnessed to an understanding of the last couple of years of this Ezekiel verse that I've been over. It's similar, I think, in Samuel 10:6, the Lord says, hey, he told Samuel, when my spirit comes on you, you will be changed into a new person. You'll become a different person. And then, and in that, that's why you do things different. That's why you seek the Lord the rest of your days. That's what you live on, that kind of thing. But like I said, that's a big thing to me is what is worship.
Shah means I looked up the scripture that supports this for him. Because I know, I mean, this lives in him too, see. But it's Romans 12:1. You know what it is, huh? It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Huh? I won't tell you what. You can offer all you want to, but when you burn up one of them sacrifices, buddy, it's gone. Huh? I mean, you know, I'm just telling you the way it is. It's gone. You don't go back tomorrow and say, well, I think I want my cow back. Well, rot's a ruck. That sucker smoke and ashes. And you won't get anything out of it, even if you put ranch dressing on it. Okay. Aren't we having fun? I love this, see. It's just down to earth. It's where we need to be. Now, if we were always simple, is this little one over here being held in arms? We'd be all right, see. We look at things in a complicated world. That one just, hey, it don't matter. Put your finger in there. They'll go, they just want to take in. You see, I really believe Christians should be in that same attitude. They should be wanting to take in everything they can get that even resembles the truth. Take it in. I'm reminded of this preacher that I once listened to him some. And he says, you know, the church has long time avoided things because they hear this old thing about a pearl in a pig's nose. He says, should you worry about that? Hey, take the pearl out. Throw the pig away. Pearl's still a pearl. Truth still truth. It don't matter where it's coming from. Is that not right? Okay. I wrote down something here that, actually I thought about this last night about 11 o'clock, so I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's a quickie, but I want to, let me read you something. I call these things fear questions since we just got through the Orange Parade. Halloween. I don't do Halloween, so I mean, you know, I'm just telling you I don't do it. But that's preference. I'm not trying to preach that everybody give up Christmas and Halloween and Easter, although I wish you would. But I'm not preaching it. I'm sorry. Hey, I don't think we need to practice anything that takes away from Christ. And you know, the especially in this hemisphere, we have took it all away from Christ and sell it at Belk's and JCPenney's and Wally World. Okay? Fear questions. Hebrews 10:26-27, in case anybody ever wants to do a reference check. Let me read this. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. After we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I don't know when God quits calling people. I don't know. That's his choice. But he says he won't call you forever. See, I do know that because that's in the Word. I don't know when he stops. And you certainly don't have a big green nose pop up on your face when he stops. Wouldn't that be nice? Huh? Well, and no need witnessing to this one because he's got his green nose shining. He cannot be converted. Because God said, that's all for you, buddy. It's fire for you. But see, we don't get them green noses, so we don't know. Now, if the Lord tells you not to witness to somebody, I suggest you abstain. Or you may be wearing the results of a rock. He may just rock you. Not like the baby. The big one. Okay? In Hebrews 6:4, let's see what it says. This is pretty close to the same thing. It is impossible. Does that mean, you know what impossible means? That can't happen. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, it's impossible for them to be brought back to repentance. Impossible. I'm tell you what that tells me. You wasting your time if you are trying to reconvert somebody who has once been tasted the Spirit, tasted the Word, tasted the truth, had the knowledge, and walked away from it. You're wasting your time, buddy. You are trying to do something that God said is impossible. And it takes a big, big, big ego to do that. Just as a mention. So, what that leads me to is Raymond. And here comes the giddy. I know it is.
Oh, Charlie and I have talked a lot in our lifetime, this lifetime. And one of the questions I always ask Charlie is, why are you here? Why are you here? And start off with, I want to tell you a story. When I was a kid, I don't know, about 10 years old, I think, whatever. I was born I was raised in the mountains on a farm. And one thing that we had was green apples. Jim will know, tell you what, they're little gnarly green apples. They call them Granny Smiths today, but they weren't grannies. They were little green apples, and they were so sour that if you bit one open while it just on the tree, then you couldn't talk for a week. It really sucked your jaws in. But my mom made green apple dumplings. And she didn't make them all the time. Now, I'll tell you, we lived in the mountains, and the store was like a week away. So if you bought it, we didn't go down to the bakery at Winn-Dixie and pick up a cake, you know. But anyway, and the treat of the year was a green apple sonker, is what we called it. It was dumplings and green apples. But anyway, I remember one time it was my birthday, and Mom had promised me, if you go pick the apples up on the hill at the orchard and bring them here, I'll make you you're the only one going to get to eat this thing, green apple dumplings. The morning that I woke up, that was my birthday, I was so excited. Unless you've been excited, you don't know what it means. Thrilled, filled with expectation, joy at something, an event or something. Boy, that morning I got up. I couldn't wait for the sun to come up. Most people do that for Christmas, but, hey, I was raised in a poor family. Christmas was the 25th of December. There was no such thing as presents and yada, yada, yada. I didn't know what a Nintendo was, even when I had the money to buy one. But anyway, I got up and went up on the hill, and I picked apples. And it was hard to decide which ones to get because each one preceding the other one looked bigger and better and more tastier, you know. So anyway, I finally got a – we had this little cloth sack that you put them in, and I filled the thing full and stuck them in my pockets. And I won the biggest sonker that the world had ever seen for my birthday. But anyway, I took them down, and she made it. And it was – better than expected. Anyway, the point is, I was excited. I was thrilled about something. Why did I get up that day? Why did I go to the orchard? If you can't figure it out, then I've been talking in vain, because I really wanted what was going to happen. That was in the old life, and I was thrilled. Well, we'll fast forward 30 years, and I came to Lamplight, and I was a mess. I was really a mess. Everybody will tell you, Jim, and all these people will tell you that I was a mess. I lived every day dreading to get up because there was no green apple sonker. There was no thrill. There was no excitement. And then one day I walked into church, and I saw somebody. I only saw the back of her head, but I knew. Excitement, because I saw the glory of the Lord. And it was almost impossible to believe that life ticked again in this old heart, but it did. Her name was Janet, and she and I got married, and have been married for 26. Well, it seems like yesterday, so 25, 26, 27. But anyway, the thing is every morning to get up, is there is an excitement in my life because of her. And the only reason that there's an excitement in my life because of her is because of sacrifice. I was willing to do what God asked me to do, to come to this church, to clean the church, to do whatever it was, to be dedicated to reading His Word, to asking His Spirit into my life, asking to see the glory of God surround me. Green apples. Excuse me. Green apples. Excitement. It's a thrill. Sunday mornings is a end, I suppose, to the green apples, because I get excited about Wednesday, about coming, about eating breakfast with these guys, seeing them, touching their lives. It's an exciting thing to be held in the hand of a living God. If you do not have that in your life, if there are no green apple pies or Janets or a reason to come together with one another, then let's see you after church. See the elders, because they are filled with this glory. They are filled with it. My question today, Why? What made you come? Did you expect something? Were you excited about something? I was. Maybe you expected Don to be here. Well, guess what? He is. Standing right up here. Because he's not any different than who we are. Or who Keith is, leading us in worship. Or the dancers. Or any of you sitting in the seats. You're all part of Don. You're all part of Christ. I remember the sacrifices that God asked me to make when I was come to this church. And then I remembered what he asked the people to do with the sacrifices. He said, you give me the guts and the hearts and things, and you take the rest of it and enjoy it. Have a feast. Get excited. You see, when we give our bodies a living sacrifice to God, he only wants the heart. The rest of it we're entitled to enjoy. We are able to use it. Everybody calls me smart. That's right. I still remember. God gave me intelligence, and I don't use it to better or gain anything for myself. But ask me a question about a word. Ask me a question about the word. And God has put a depository there, and I just punch the buttons and click, he comes up. But I give it to you for free. It's not 1998, and I'll tell you the way to get to heaven. No, that's free. It is as free. I remember the answer to a question that bugged me for years. The question is, what would Jesus do? WWJD, remember that? WWJD? My daughter Ashley came up with the answer. She went to Resurrection, and they had to make projects for school. And so she made a T-shirt, and it had little bitty letters, WWJD, on it. But the picture that you saw was Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. And the caption in big letters was, if you need to ask, you're lost.
I told you. It's good. I'm not through. My glasses hadn't broke yet. But I am on page 4, if it'll do you any good. I'm going to read something here. Let me ask you a question. I won't have to walk so much. I'll just do it this way. See, big time notes, see? What is love? That's for you, not for me. I spent all night last night trying to figure it out. But I got an answer from the Lord when I asked. You want to hear what it is? Laying down your life that your enemy might live. That's what Jesus did. I mean, we didn't all belong to him when he went to the cross. I thought when he first came in there, I thought, now wait a minute. You know, how about these Muslims just blowing us up? He said, well, I laid down my life for them too. My question is this, and it's on my computer at the house. If you guys got one, I'll let you, you know, I just suggest you do this. It's one, what do you call this screen thing? Screensavers? Yeah, I'm really hepped on this computer stuff, as you can tell. But anyway, I wanted to put this on my screen instead of having ducks run all over the place or fish swimming across your stream, your screen. I put on there a question. Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Now, if you know what love is, it's going to be a goodie here, but you got to know where it comes from, too, and I'm going to get to that, because that's my next question. Where does love come from? Because we're not born with it. If you just turn a baby loose and don't educate them, they'll be the greediest little old things you have ever seen. Wow. Bite your hand off to get what they want. Won't they? Is that not true? I don't know. I'm not a pediatrician now. I've just watched a whole bunch of them throw temper tantrums. They start off doing it and they get what they want and they never stop. They say, well, all I got to do is throw a temper tantrum. I can get what I want. John 4:16. Let me give you a little something here. See, you need to put a little scripture with everything, you know what I mean? Because otherwise it's just my opinion. And my opinion is not any better than anybody else's. I'll do 15 to just put you in the same verse. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Last part of John 4:16 says, God is love. I mean, don't say that he has a boxcar full. It says he is it. He is love. Okay? Boy. 1 John 4:7-8. Friends, dear friends, it says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Now that's as clear as it gets. Love comes from God. Where's love come from? Comes from God. Doesn't come from you. Doesn't come from your parents. It's not in your DNA. You can't teach it in boarding school. I don't care what they call it. You can't teach love. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Born again. New heart. And knows God. Everyone who loves. Everyone who can do this. Has that capability. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Whoever doesn't know it, whoever doesn't love, they don't know God. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. That's John 4:13. There he goes back to that. He says over there in what, Ezekiel? Was that where it was? Ezekiel? 36, he said, I'm going to take your old heart out. That's a heart of stone. I'm going to put your new heart in, heart of flesh, and then I'm going to put a new spirit in you. Huh? A new spirit. So you wind up with a new heart and a new spirit. And see? Because he has given us of his spirit. Now, my big thing is, see, and this is just, this is not preference. I really am convinced that there's only one way under the sun that you can get born again or filled with the Spirit or get a new heart or get the Spirit that God puts in you. There's only one way to do it. You got to get honest with him. See? Because I tried being dishonest for a long time and it didn't work. It didn't get me squat. See? Tried bargaining. Well, I'll dress up and go to church with Martha. If that'll do it. And so it didn't do it, so I didn't bother. And for 5 years prior to getting saved, I didn't darken any door that called itself a church at all. I wasn't playing any games. I didn't want to go down there with them hypocrites. That's what I used to call you guys till I become one. Wait a minute. One of us guys. See? But I used to stay away. It's a sell job of the enemy. The devil comes along. His biggest lie that he tries to sell is he does not exist. There is no devil. See, because you make people believe that. You can make them believe that there are no IFOs. Now, you just need to catch up, see? You know, it's like stuff you put on French fries. You need to catch up. Look at here. Who was it? Elijah? Huh? Threw his robe out? Right? This little IFO, identified flying object came down and picked up Elijah. And Elijah threw his cloak out the window. Now, this is in the Word. I'm not making it up. Where'd he come from? Oh, there's nobody out there. We've just been sending them radio signals in the outer space for all this time. We don't expect an answer. We're just sucking the government's money out. We got a job. I would love if God would just send back on their frequency. Yes, what do you want? I would love that. All them guys that throw their headsets down and just boogie. Or they'd bend their knee. Can't go but one way or the other. Being honest is the only thing that gets you in the kingdom. I call it an unconditional surrender. And it doesn't matter how long you sit on the bench. You can be here 30 years. I ain't picking on nobody, okay? So don't go getting huffy. You can sit here until the chair wears plumb out and falls in the floor. And it won't get you squat. If you don't have this new heart inside and you don't have a new spirit. And see, my thing is, the question is this. Do you really think you're the only one that knows you're not saved? Wouldn't that be an atrocity to send a bunch of fishermen out trained to catch fish, but they can't see whether or not they throw in their hook in the dry well or the one that's got water in it? They standing out there in the desert with a hook. Or throwing their net is what they used to do before hooks came along. They out there on a rock in the desert, tossing that net out, see, trying to catch fish. Now, wouldn't that be an idiot way to teach people to fish? So, God is not going to send his anointed people into the world to help people, see, become Christ-like. Converted, new heart. He's not going to send them out there fishing for these people who are robots that don't exist. He's going to say, well, James D., hope you got a big net because I'm going to send a whole bunch of people over on Moorhead that need to hear it. And hadn't we seen a few come through? I had a friend of mine that got saved at Moorhead. I worked with him at AT&T. Little black guy, about yay big. We called him Little Richard, but I mean, it wasn't the Little Richard that sings. It was just another Little Richard. But he got a new heart over there. Now, you know what? I'd lay you a million to nothing odds that you knew where he stood when he first came. Didn't you? That's right. Because he didn't learn to fish in the desert. Lord took him down to the stream where there was plenty of fish in there, or the sea. And he says, hey, if you'll just cast your net over here, you'll catch all kind. Well, now, did God not know there was some fish over there on the other side of that boat? Did Jesus not know it? Peter didn't know it. But the Lord told him. And he tells anointed people. And we call it a gift. Discernment. We call it something like, my heart will witness with your heart, brother, that we have the same love inside of us. Won't it? It'll even pick people out before you're introduced. I'm talking from experience now. I'm not talking about something I read in a book. Because I remember one day, I went into the back of this church down in Fort Mill, a whole lot bigger than we are. They had 300 or 400 people in there. I don't know. There's a bunch of people. And I'm standing at the back, and I'm just looking around, and looked over there, and I saw Edom and Carol sitting over on the right-hand side. And I said, there's one. There's two. Now, I met some more there that day. But I didn't have to go ask them, are you a Christian? Are you a brother? The word says, and I wish I could remember where it was, but I've seen too much in this life. I'm going to quit. The word says this, okay, then I'll quit. There's people that says that they belong to God, but their actions deny. That's word. Their actions deny it, even though their mouth says they do. Okay? So that's just where Titus, boy, he's pretty good. I like that boy. He might have been young, but he had it together. So, we got one more Sunday of this. I don't know what's going to happen next Sunday because I don't know who's doing it yet. The Lord hadn't said, he hadn't said anything to me. I didn't know we were doing this Sunday. This is ad lib as it gets. Okay? I hope you enjoyed it. But I will tell you this. We won't leave as long as somebody wants to deal with their own life and come into Jesus. Okay? We won't leave. We won't leave if anybody wants to deal in their life with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost. We'll wait. That's up to you. All we do is put words in the air. We don't have any convicting little smoke to throw out over the audience so that you get convicting power on you. Oh, wouldn't that be neato? That'd probably sell for $10 million a puff. And somebody would be marketing it. I can guarantee you. So he didn't turn us loose with that. I can speak for 4 people. We love you. I can speak for 1 person that I'm looking for it to come back. Okay, that love. I'm wanting it back too because I'm not built different. Everybody wants to be loved. Isn't that right, Felicia? Huh? Didn't I hear this out of your voice once upon a time? I did. I don't remember. I remember. Boy, it was sweet. And it's good, too. That's a 17-ounce in a 1-pound bag of truth. That's it. We're through. Would you do me a favor, James? Would you bless the church for us?